There is a pasuk in the book, in the Sefer Zechariah. For those that are taking notes, it's in Perek Yud Bet, Pesukim Yud and Yud Aleph. It's an obscure pasuk. You never heard it. But this pasuk over here is very vital. A pasuk that's actually predicting the events that are going to take place on that day that Mashiach arrives. Everybody always wants to know what's going to happen, you know, what it's going to be like. And usually the rabbis always answer, you'll see when it happens. What do we have to predict? The day it happens, so bring a tape recorder, bring a video, or bring Shimon with his camera over there, or show Saturday night, the following Saturday night, you'll see what happens when Mashiach came. So here we have a pasuk from a prophet, Zechariah, and he's going to tell us exactly what's going to be, but it's an obscure pasuk. So we need the Gemara to explain what the pasuk means, but let's go one step at a time. V'shafachi al Bet David v'al Yoshev Yerushalayim ruach hen v'ta'anonim והביטו אליי את אשר דקרו וספדו עליו כמספד על היחיד והמר עליו כהמר על הבכור ביום ההוא יגדל המספד בירושלים כמספד הדדרימון בבקעת מגידון. The pasuk says that on that day when Mashiach comes, God's going to spill over like a river to the descendants of David HaMelech, to Am Yisrael. It's going to be a river that's not going to be flowing water, but the spirit of Hen v'tahanunim, Hen's grace, charm. Tahanunim is supplication, benevolence, kindness. It's not going to be a string of hen. Sometimes you see the Gemara uses the word chut shel chesed. A chut shel hen, a string of charm. For example, Queen Esther, Esther HaMalkah. It says, Vatehi Esther Nosef hen ve'ainei kol ro'eha. How much hen did she have? The Gemara says she had chut shel hen, a string of hen, and look what it did. It made of the queen that little string, that little morsel of hen. And here it says when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a flowing river. And who's going to be the benefactor of this blessing? Am Yisrael. Ruach hen v'tahanunim. We have something to look forward to. And then it says, "V'hevitu elai et asher dakeru." Somebody is going to be stabbed on that day. Lidkor is to stab, to take a knife and jab, and to lance. There's going to be a murder on that day, and everybody's going to see it. V'safedu. There's going to be a great funeral. Allah, on that fellow, can be spared on the Yahid. It's going to be such a bitter funeral. It's going to be like somebody who lost his only son. Can be spared on the Yahid. How sad is that if, God forbid, somebody becomes bereft of his only son? Vehema, it's going to be bitter. Kehemar ala bechor. Like God forbid, somebody loses his firstborn son, the firstborn child. Bayoma on that day, Yigdal and the state is going to be such a great eulogy, such a great funeral. Birushalayim. Kemispeh that rimon bepekaat megidon. It's going to be as great as one of the greatest funerals that ever was. A fellow called Hadadrimon ben Tabrimon. Anybody know what this means here? Somebody's, I think, trying to call. Who's the administrator of this cell phone? It's good though, it's making noise. That was good. Is this for your wife? She's on the phone? And it's going to be a bit of funeral. And there's going to be many attendees. It's going to go down in history as the greatest hesped of all time. And I know what you're all thinking. I know what is on all of your minds. Whose funeral? Who's going to get killed on that day? Whose death is going to be commemorated on the day of Mashiach? So I quote to the Gemara Sukkah, Daf Nun Bet. Hay Hespeda, May Abiteh. We're going to piece the Gemara together. It's not so bad. I want you to hear the Lashon of the Gemara. I want the holy words of the Talmud to penetrate your souls. Every Kippur, your neshamot are pure. I want the foundation of your neshamot tonight to hear the holy words of the Talmud. Pay attention so they enter B'kdusha. The Gemara says, ladies also, you can learn a piece of Gemara. The Gemara is okay for you. What's this hisped? Believe me, Rabbi Dosan Rabbanan. It's machloket, Rabbi Dosan Rabbanan. Har amar al Mashiach ben Yosef shenehelach. Some say it's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef. There's two Mashiachim. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And according to the Talmud, there's a good chance that Mashiach ben Yosef is not going to make it. As a matter of fact, we pray in the Tefillot, in the Berachot of the Amidah, Ki Lishuatecha, Kivinu, Vestipinu, Konayo, and the Kavanah we're supposed to have is that Mashiach ben Yosef should not be killed by Aramilos Haracha. We even know the name of the murderer. But we're praying that it should be a failed attempt. If we don't get answered, then this pasuk will not happen. But comes another opinion, says no, it's going to happen. The hadamar al yetzer hara shenehelach. Then who's the one that's going to die on that day? The yetzer hara. What's the yetzer hara? The yetzer hara, the evil inclination. So the Gemara says, Bishna ma'aleman da'amar al-Mashiach ben Yosef shenehelach. Hayni dikhtiv hibitu elai et ashev dakiru v'safedu alav kemespeda layachim. If you tell me it's Mashiach, it's going to be the victim, that's why there's going to be eulogy. That's why it's going to be bitter. That's why it's going to be sad. Ela aleman da'amar. Al yetzer hara shenehelach. Hay hespeda ba'ayel me'ibad, simcha ba'ayel me'ibad. The Gemara says, if you tell me it's the yetzer hara that's going to be killed, on the contrary, we shouldn't make a eulogy. We should throw a party. We should make l'chaim. There should be hakafot. We should get a band. It should be a 3-day party, 24 hours non-stop. We should be celebrating, reveling. It should be the greatest simcha ever. Comes the Gemara and says, Amai Bachu. Why they cry? The Gemara says, Kedarish Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda gives the answer. La'atid labo mivio HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyetzer hara b'shohato b'fnei HaTzadikim b'fnei HaRasha'im. The Atid Labo, God's going to slaughter the Yetzer Hara in front of the Tzadikim and in front of the Sha'im. Tzadikim, Nidmeh Dahem Kehar Gavoa. The Yetzer Hara is going to take on different images, a different complexion to the Tzadikim and to the Nesha'im. To the Tzadikim, the Yetzer Hara is going to look like a big mountain, like Everest, or Tabor, or Hermon. Ushaim, Nidmer Da'er Kehut Asar. And to the Nesha'im, the Yetzer Hara is going to look like a little hair. A small little nothing, a piece of hair. Hadala Bukhi, Hadala Bukhi. The Tzadikim are going to cry, and the Rishayim are going to cry. Tzadikim Bukhim Be'omri. The Tzadikim are going to cry, they're going to say, He'ach Yakol Lichbosh Ar Gavoa Kazeh. They're going to say, how did we do it? How did we conquer such a mountain? How did we ascend to the top of this mountain, and we triumphed it, and we were victorious. Urshayim bochim, and the Rishayim are going to cry. Ve'omrim, he'ach lo yachol lechbosh et hut ha'sa'ar hazeh. This is Gemara Li's interpretation. The Rishayim, I understand why they cry. They deserve to cry. After all, they did not exhibit any self-control in their life. They went after their passions. They went after their desires. They lived a life of indulgence. And now, they see that the Yetzer Hara was conquerable. They see it was doable. These little pipsqueak, little midget, little piece of hair. They could have overcame it. And now at that time they're filled with regret. Yes, the Rishayim deserve to cry. It's an oil. But I ask the Tzadikim, why are they crying? Because of such a tall mountain? Good, but you conquered it! A person sets out on a trek to climb the tallest mountain. And he finally gets to the top. Doesn't cry. He takes his flag, and he pitches it on top of the mountain. I was here, he puts his initials in the dirt. He takes a few pictures, and he's thrilled. Why are the tzaddikim crying? It's a eulogy, they're upset. There's no room for this. You succeeded, v'siman tov. Why do the tzaddikim cry? This is not my question. This was asked by a great rabbi called the Gaon Maharsha. You don't need me for this shiur. I gave you the address. Gemara Sukkah Daf Nun Bet. What am I doing? I asked the Maharsha's question. Now I'm giving the Maharsha's answer. And everybody says, oh, what a Dirasha! What a great Dirasha! I stole the Dirasha from the Maharsha. He wrote it into the back of the Gemara. You can go do this yourself at home, read it yourself. So I'm just going to repeat his answer. I'll give it to you a little more elaborate, put some salt and pepper on it to make it a little tasty. And that's it, then we'll go home. Why is somebody keen crying? Oh, this is a big question. So there's a story. There's a story told. You must know this story in your repertoire of stories. Stories like this, you have to remember it and tell it to your children. Before they go to sleep at night, you give them these ma'asiyot in order to put in their heads words of Musar. Instead of reading them Goldilocks and the Three Bears and all the other Sefarim HaKedoshim, Dr. Seuss, all this other stuff. You tell them words of Musar, Divrei Tochecha, words of rebuke, words that soften the heart. There was a fellow who lived a few hundred years ago. He was an Eglon. Eglon is somebody that rides a horse. He's a driver. In those days they didn't have cars, they had horses. It's a very difficult job. The fellow worked from early in the morning to late at night. He eked out a meager living. there were certain times he would be away from the house for weeks at a time, just taking people or taking cargo from one place to the other. Keep in mind, in the older days, they didn't have roads that were paved, and the conditions were cold and bitter in the winter. And that was his job. And we would say he was considered an Ahlim Marum. He was suffering in abject poverty. And from time to time, since his hours were so long, he would fall asleep at the wheel. And the horses would just keep on traveling down the road. And most of the times, the horses would just keep on traveling straight. It was like a cruise control. They just knew the road. And when he would wake up, he would see where he was and just continue the trip. At other times, if let's say there was a fork on the road and he fell asleep, so the horse would either turn to the right or turn to the left. And then when he'd finally wake up from his sleep, he'd wait for the morning. He'd see where the horses went. And he had a very good sense of direction, this guy, because he knew the roads. And he'd say, oh, here I am. Didn't have GPS in the old days and the horses. So what did he do? He went to recalibrate where he was and he'd find this into the place. That was usually his manhag. And it happened a lot. He's tired. So one of these cold winter nights, with the horses, you know, in the depths of the forest over there, and he falls asleep. Okay, and the horses go on their way, Sure enough, he wakes up a few hours later, it's pitch black, which he's not shocked, that's what usually is, okay. I'll follow my formula, wait for the morning, I look where the sun is, I find out exactly my position, and then I just backtrack and get on the path again. Good. He looks at his watch, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, he knows the sunrise is in a couple of hours. 2 hours pass, he's at his watch, 6 a.m., pitch black. So what's going on over here? This already is a watch, which was the only asset that he had in his life. This already he received from his wedding, this watch. This is his father-in-law gave him the watch. So he says, my father-in-law is a crook, he gave me a broken watch. There was a warranty on it. That's it. The day the warranty got finished, the watch broke. 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe it's broken. I'll wait a little more. There's no sun. So he waits 3 hours more. Now it's 9 o'clock. How long could he be sleeping when the sun, not only the sun didn't come up, there's no sign, there's no rays, there's no nothing. It's pitch. Okay, I know this is, I remember the twilight zone over here. What's happening? Where does horse take him? He waits another few hours, darkness. Oh, something's going on over here. Now he says, I'm stuck because I don't know how to get out of this. I can't see anything. It's cold. I'm running out of food, and it's just a matter of time. So he just starts to ride on the horses. Maybe he'll see somebody, but what is he going to see? He can't even make his way. He doesn't even know if he's going right or left. He doesn't know if he's going right or wrong. He's going. A day passes, and it's just getting thicker and thicker. He never saw a place like this. There's no sun. What's happening in this place? Where did the horse take him? I don't know if he'd been sleeping. And he says, this is it. My wife is going to die. He's thinking already, oh, I'm a Baal. What am I going to tell Borei Olam? Din v'Hashbon. What a miserable way to go. He says, I'm not going to even be Zoche to Kiburat Yisrael. I'm going to die here with my horses. What an unrespectable death. All of a sudden, from far, he sees like candles. He thought they were candles or light. He says, okay, this is it. If I can only get to that place where the candles are, even if it's bandits, even if it's murderers over there, who's going to be in such a crazy place? Who's going to be in such a remote area? It can never be. At least, it's human beings. I'm going to die. If I stay here, I'd starve to death. If I go there, they kill me, they take my money. So, I have nothing to lose. He gets to the place, he sees a group, Habura. They look like very decent people. They want these two people. Landsmen. People that live in the world of darkness. And they're all sitting around the table with a sakudah. They have their candles over there. So the guy says, could you explain to me, where am I? He says, this is like one of the poles. You're in a place over here where there's no sun, you know that. And I was like, Maruch, I know that, I see. But when does the sun come up? Because the sun doesn't come up on me. It's dark 365 days a year. We never saw the sun. We never saw the sun. Yeah, this is it. But if you want to come live with us, Baruch Abba, it's a pleasure, you could be, we'll give you food, please, before you even talk. They gave you something to eat, they took care of him. He said, nice people, I come from this place. Do you know how to get back? We know the roads, don't worry. If you want us to take you back, we're very, very generous in this place. We'll escort you back to the road where you need to go until you get back to your town. He says, wow, unbelievable. What nice people. Look at this. But I said, but you're here already. Why don't you come live with us for a little while? Let's live with you. I might live with you. I'm an Eglon. I have to go home to give Parnassah to my family. So how much Parnassah are you making being an Eglon? Come to the land of darkness and you'll make Parnassah. You have Parnassah here? Yeah, Parnassah. How far is the city where the Parnassah is? A couple of minutes, a couple of us. Every minute you want to go home, you let us know, we'll take you right home. We'll escort you back to the road. So what a deal. Gets to the city. And to his amazement, they take him to a place, and all scattered through the city is bright lights. He says, I thought they said there's no sun in the city. He says, there is no sun. These are not lights, these are diamonds. Diamonds? Diamonds, each diamond is a yadon. It's all bright. 5 carat, 10 carat, 15 carat, rocks, stones. He says, listen, the God is good. He knows that this is a dark place. So he puts a lot of these diamonds all over the place in order to shine up in your neighborhood. Why did it sort of the thing? One time this year, I was in Morocco. We were coming back from the mountains. We were driving by the Sahara Desert. And then we stopped off to go to get a coffee or something like that. And it wasn't a Dunkin' Donuts. They don't have Dunkin' Donuts in Morocco yet. Might have been a Starbucks for all I know. But the point is, when we got off the little, I guess a Moroccan Arab who came running towards us, and he says, do you want to buy this here? It's a little ball, black. The blackest ball you ever saw. What is this? I thought it's a bomb. What are you giving me? How am I going to take this on a plane? So he said, no, 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 this is special. We only have it in the mountains over there. You can't get it anywhere. What is this? What is it exactly? It's like a bowling ball that was like premature. So he said, no, 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 no. He cracks it open, and all of a sudden you see, they call it a hematite. But it's like diamonds, it's glowing, shiny. Where'd you get this from? This comes from the mountains. Would it naturally come? It's a natural stone, but you can't believe you're looking at such a thing. You open it bright. You glow the light, you see shining, you see all coming out of this stone over here. So I said to him, give me a couple of them. I'll tell my wife it's a real diamond. I'll get away from my anniversary gifts, a couple of birthday presents. Turns out she knew about the stone. In any event, so they had not hematites. In this place, they had real diamonds. So the guy went crazy. He starts to grab them. They tell him, what are you doing? Well, what am I doing? This is it. This is it. Thank you. No, 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 sir. Diamonds over here are not a commodity. You see, we have so many of them. This is not where we make up for themselves. So, I mean, what you're doing is foolish. It's like you're stuffing your pockets with pennies. He says, oh, okay, I mean, you're right, they go all over the place. So he has his pockets out. He says, what's the commodity here? He says, well, you're a smart guy. In the land of darkness, what do you think the commodity would be? He said, candles. Oh, very good. What do you make candles from? Wax. Very good. The richest man on the island, they're in wax. He said, okay, if I get into the wax business, I'll become very wealthy. So he goes to the main street over there, and he speaks to some people, he starts as a worker, he works his way up. Meanwhile, back home, his family have no idea where he is. So they probably took a wrong turn somewhere, but they don't miss him anyway. How much money does he bring home for the family? So he becomes, make a long story short, he ends up becoming the greatest wax dealer in the land of darkness. The man's retail, wholesale, import, export. He became a gvir. Anybody who wants wax, he has a monopoly on it, and they need wax. Everybody has candles. You want to see, you got the candle. So finally, after he's making all this wax, receiving all the kavod, everybody wants to be his friend, everybody wants to rub elbows with him, everybody wants to sit with him. How should we deny that? He is the wax maven, the wax magnate. So then he says, you know what? I made enough money. It's time to go back home. He tells the boys, the group, listen, you promised them that they didn't want to go home. Whatever you like, we'll take you right home. You just tell us what. We're going now. Okay, we're going now. Let's go. You're not getting back. It's pitch black. We know the roads. Says, okay, just let me pack up some crates of wax. I got to bring it back home to the mishpacha. Oh, wait till they see over here how much wax I bring them. I'm going to be a hero. They're going to say all the poverty that they lived with was worth it. Now they're going to live a life of luxury, a life of success. How am I going to take all this wax home? So he has his horses still, and he has the back of a truck over there, and he starts to fill up the wax into vats in his front vat, and another vat, and they pile it up, vat, on the vat, on the vat, all the way up to the Shamayim. But now as he starts to drive, it's shaking, it's wobbly. He says, I need something to stabilize the balance. So he bends down on the floor, he picks up five, six, seven, eight diamonds, aka big ones, the big rocks, and he uses them as wedges. So he puts one under the barrel, not a barrel that stands good, and he puts one on the other one, and the barrel stands good, and so on and so forth. I mean, the guy became so caught up with this wax and this craziness that he forgot life. He's obsessed with wax. And he's drunk with wax. That's all he knows is wax. He got so corrupted, he doesn't even know what a diamond is anymore. He looks at a diamond, he doesn't know. It's nothing good. Now he starts to come back home, and they tell him, himself, I recognize this road. Can we leave you here? You can leave me here. Let me go back home. Skip it's more. Thank you. Good luck in the land of darkness. If you need any wax, call me up, and so on and so forth. Regards to everybody. Now he can't believe it. He's going to see his wife and children. He didn't see them in how many days, how many months. Finally, he gets close to the city. His heart is palpitating. Wait for what they see, what I brought them. He says, maybe I have to give them a warning first. I don't want them to get scared. I don't want them to faint. I don't want them to. It's a lotto. Imagine going to somebody telling them, you won the Powerball lotto. So you can't. You can't tell it to them in one shot. It's gonna... Sakana! So he continues to get to the house. And sure enough, what happens... The kids see their father coming home. They know their father. They smell the horses. They say, oh, daddy's home, daddy's home. So they come out of the house. The wife comes out, they're hugging. They kiss him. Where were you? What's happened to you? Honey, I'm sorry. I took a wrong turn. I fell asleep. The land of darkness. You did the whole, that echa. And after she finishes talking, she says, what's that smell? What is that smell? The worst smell when the wax is in the hot sun, and it's in these vats, starts to become rancid and spoiled. What do you have to do over there? I mean, wait. Your life is changed. What are you talking about? I was in the land of darkness, And I became a rich man. And no more you're going to have to wear these clothes anymore, and these ripped shoes. And no more the kids are going to have to wear all hand-me-downs. We don't have to live in this little apartment. Now we're going to live in a big palatial estate. What are you talking? What's in there? Go look for yourself. Go ahead. He's sitting here proud. The proud fool. He's standing there. The cupboard, open it up. Tell me what you think. And she opens it up. She says, are you kidding? Are you joking? Is this a prank? This is wax. What did I do? Exactly wax. You swallow up. What are you doing? What are you talking about? We wax. Wax. This is wax. This is the land of the wax. This is it. We're done. And she starts to cry. And she starts to make avenu. And she says, it's one thing that I married this Ahbab. But I didn't realize what Ahbab is. He went to the land over there. This is what he brings back. Wax. And now all the vape is coming out. What's that smell? Get rid of this garbage. You're sticking up the whole neighborhood. What are you talking about? And all of a sudden, it starts to dawn on him that he really made the mistake of a lifetime. He got so caught up, he got so obsessed with it. He was so despondent and so depressed because he realized that this was his chance of a lifetime, and he squandered it, and he fell asleep. And all of a sudden, his wife starts to scream, we're rich, we're rich, we're rich! Doesn't wake him up, what are you talking about, we're rich? Look at these diamonds, where'd you get these diamonds? What are you talking about, which diamonds? I don't know, under the barrel, I see a couple of diamonds, I never saw a stone like this. We're going to be rich for the next 100 generations. She's running around giving it to him. What a diamond! When you get a rock like this, this is 100 carats. We never saw such a thing. And the guy faints. So she wakes him up again. And she would have been better off just letting him have a state like that. She takes the money and go. What did she want this guy for? She wakes him up. What are you fainting for? She says, I'm fainting because these few diamonds over here, I just used them to support the barrels of wax. Do you know how many diamonds they were in the land of darkness? They were all over the sheets. I could have went for 5 minutes, filled my pockets up. What did I take? 2-3 diamonds. And Baruch Hashem would live comfortably. But I could have had a slew of these. I could have been the biggest, richest man in the world in the history. And it was all there for the taking. And what do I do? Wax, wax, wax. And we hear this story, and everybody heard this story, the different ways of telling it over. When I was in the yeshiva, I heard this story 100 times. And it always made an impression on me. And you laugh at the guy, and you say, some people are so foolish, some people have no sense, no IQ, no intelligence. And then the rabbis would always tell us, the mashal is talking to you. You're that person. We are living in the land of darkness. Olam hazeh is domeh lachoshech. Tashit choshech vihi laila. Boter mos kol haito yaal. Tashit choshech vi laila. Laila ze olam ze. This world is a world of darkness. Boter mos kol haito yaal. All the animals are out. All the predators are out. And we come into this world in this darkness, and there's diamonds in the street. And those diamonds are the Tanyag Mitzvot. This is what I'm telling you. The 613 Mitzvot as given to us by God in the Torah are nothing short than precious Yahalomim. And what are we doing? There's diamonds on the streets and we're filling our barrels with wax. Where's it in wax? Cars. Clothes, gadgets, stuff, items, gadgetry, but it's wax. And then what? We're familiar with all the vacation spots, with all the restaurants, with all the top 10 songs. We're familiar with all the shaba, all the wax of Olam Hazeh. And we think we're big shots. And in the glare of the office, you get respect. Everybody comes to that person. Oh, you're the maiden on cars. Could you tell me I'm getting this car, the 354X. I want to look at the edge, at the K. Oh, that knows. Respect. The more a person in this one's a Bakian wax, he's fluent in the wax. They honor him. Do me a favor, I'm staying in this hotel. Did you get me in? Oh, I'll get you in. I don't die. The latest toy, the latest gizmo, and all of us are the same. We're hoarding wax. And then what happens? We come to Olam Haba like big shots, with the wagons, and we come up and we're ready to show off all the loot. And as we come to Olam Ha'emet, all the tzaddikim and Olam Haba, they start holding their nose. What is this guy? What are you doing over here? Stench! Reyah! What did you bring over here? This is it. This is the affluence. And they tell the person, they tell us before, there was diamonds in the streets. We don't trade in wax and shamayim. We don't trade in materialism. Yeah, you need materialism to live, but we trade in ruhaniyut, in tayyag. You had a chance to acquire all these things more, and instead what did you do? You got sidetracked, you got brainwashed, you got influenced. And what a tsar that's going to be at that time. Oh, what a tsar. We're going to say, look what we could have acquired, instead what did we do? Yeah, a couple of mitzvot we have in our pocket, I don't say no. The Gemara says, afilu resha'im shebahem, afilu rekanim shebahem. Even the enemy Jews, mele'im mitzvot kalimon. They have mitzvot like pomegranates in their pocket. They have some diamonds that unintentionally came in and slipped in. Yeah, so they'll be able to cash them in, some tokens. But at the end of the day, we're going to kick ourselves. We blew it. This was the world where there's diamonds all over the place. And it's a very simple formula, Olam Haba. The more diamonds you have, the better seat you have. Very simple. Don't let anybody confuse you. Olam Haba is not tokens. The more tokens you have, the more you're able to redeem them for a better seat. That's all it is. And it's easy. They're available. They're accessible. The Gaon of Vilna on his deathbed was crying. So they asked the Gaon, Nei Yisrael, Patisha Hazak, Amud Aymani, Gaon of Vilna, what are you crying for? And he took out his sisiyot. He said, you see this? This sisiyot cost me 5 kopecks. A small amount of money. He says, once I go to Olam Haba, for all the money in the world, I can't buy a pair of tzitzit. For this tzitzit, it's going to buy me eternity. For every second that I'm wearing it, I get kadeh ben avyon. This is Olam Asiyah. This is a diamond. But once I get to Olam Ha'emet, finished. The game is over. There's no more tokens. There's no more collecting. And therefore, this world is a wonderful opportunity to amass. So the Gaon was crying, as much as he amassed, he said, it's a shame. I'm not going to be able to continue to amass my fortunes. All the money in the world you can buy a mitzvah. But metim chofshi. In death, one is free. Free from what? Free from mitzvot. And therefore the Gaon cried, because he understood the value of Olam Hazeh. Baruch Musa, all of you are wise. The night you're collecting diamonds. Just your mere presence, you're sitting here. Hearing the Bnei Torah, your bank accounts are being filled with spiritual treasures. It's easy, isn't it, just to sit and smile, this is the Bnei Torah. But watch. Just to show you what we're talking about. Let me tell you a midrash that most of you never heard of. There was a great rabbi called Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana had a son. His son was Sadiq. Sadiq was a 5-year-old boy. So what happened? Rav Kahana says he's 5 years old, I want to send him to the yeshiva. It's time for him to go learn Torah. So Mrs. Rav Kahana, the Rebbe says, so he's a 5-year-old boy, he belongs, he's going to the yeshiva, I miss him, I want him to stay home. Rav Kahana said, nothing to him, what do you mean, stay home? He's already old enough, he has to go study. And it became a shalom bayit between Rav Kahana and his wife. This is what Rav says. It became such an issue between them that Rav Kahana asked the shalom at the threat of his wife, if you don't allow me to send my son to the yeshiva, has the shalom, we have to go to the bin, we have the Hiroshim. So she says, okay, I said, it's important to you, but maybe there's a way we can make a pishara, a compromise. So what's the compromise? How about we make a deal? Let's bring a rabbi and the maid to the house. He'll live with us. I'll cook for him. I'll take from my own money and support him. And he'll teach our little Sadiq 20 hours a day. And he'll be with us in the house. It'll be tremendous. Rav Kahana says, it's a good idea, I don't say no. He says, it's not a yeshiva. In the yeshiva, you have hundreds of students, talmidim, it's much more spiritual, great environment, but you know what? For the shalom bayit, do it. They look at the yellow page, they look for the best of the hakam that they have. Sure enough, they bring a great sadiq to the house. And now the little sadiq has no idea what's going on. He's 5 years old. So Rav Kahana comes and calls his son into the room. He says, my dear son, you are now about to embark on your Torah career. Me and your mother brought this rabbi, and he's going to teach you Torah every day. And the little boy Sadiq says, but daddy, what is Torah? What is Torah? Every page of Talmud that you're going to study, and every Masechet that you're going to finish, you're going to acquire a piece of the world. What do you mean? The rabbis tell us that there are Shaya Olamot. There are 310 worlds. And when one involves himself in the study of Torah Mitzvot, the Pasuk says, Lehanchim Ohavai Yesh. That God bequeaths to those that serve Him and love Him, Yesh. Yesh is Shai, Shin Yun, Yun Shin, 310. Lanchir o Aval Yesh, Eru Shai o Lavo, Shakadot Baruch Hu Manchir, Lechot Tzadik Mitzadik. That will be 310 worlds. Yes. You're going to study Torah, you'll finish Baba Kama, you get Chicago. Chicago, believe me. You'll finish Baba Mitziah, Los Angeles. Baba Matra, New York. Oh, this is it. This is what Torah is. And once you finish all the shas, and you continue to do what it's called, they keep on adding another olam. North America, South America, Asia, Antarctica, India. At the moment you want to accomplish, shai olamot, you become the adon. 310, not countries, 310 worlds. Wow, this boy Sadiq, we couldn't believe it. From learning, he came from learning. He went out of his mind. He says, daddy, when do I start? You start right now. And the rabbi started, he said, now I'm starting to teach them boy Torah. And he started to get excited. Every time he finished another perek, he's thinking in his mind, another world, another city, another country, another continent. So after he finished the few masechtot, little boy, 5 years old, he goes to the candy store. So he walks into the candy store, he tells the clerk, I want chocolate. Chocolate for Chava, there's chocolate over here. He takes a big bag, he starts putting up all the chocolates. Fills it up to the top. So the clerk says, who's paying for this? He says, relax, I'm going to pay for it over here. Okay, but Chava, where's the money? So he says, Shiraim ohazim betalet. Ze omer kula sheli, ze omer kula sheli. He starts reading the Mishnah. Can I have my chocolate? What are you talking about? What are you, heebie-jeebie? You're quoting some words over here? This is not fairy tales. You pay the money for the chocolate.
Pay the money?
I just read you a Mishnah. My father told me that when you learn, you get worlds. So, I own Chicago, I own Los Angeles, I own New York. So I'm giving, I want to cash in a little for a couple of chocolates. The guy said, I don't know what you're drinking. I don't know where you came from. We don't deal in worlds. We don't know Mishnayot. We deal in currency. You want to pay for the chocolate, the chavo. So the boy was a little disenchanted. That's what my father told me, what I'm on. I own. He says, you know what, maybe the chocolate guy doesn't understand too much. I'll go to the ice cream. Goes to the ice cream store. What do you want? Give me a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, everything on there. The guy fills it up for him. Okay, how are you gonna pay for this? Pay? No problem. Eru mitziot shelo, ve'eru hayat la'achriz. He starts quoting the Mishnah, go to mitziah. The guy's looking at him. Excuse me, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Eru mitziot? My father told me, Shaykh Adamot! I own the world! I'm a real estate mogul! I'm not asking you for too much! I just want to cash in a little of my olamot for a piece of ice cream! The guy says, listen, we don't know what you're talking about, olamot. We're not at the Kabbalah. You want to come back with money before the ice cream melts? We'll sell it to you. If not, we can't give you ice cream because you know Mishnayot. Now the little boy Sadiq, he became disheartened. He went back to his father of Kahana. You can't believe this is a Midrash. It's a Midrash. He says, Daddy, I'm sorry to tell you. It seems you lied to me. What do you mean, son? Why did I lie to you? You told me I studied Torah, and there's olamot, and there's diamonds, and there's kedusha, and there's... I went to the chocolate guy, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. I went to the ice cream place, also doesn't know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, everybody on your honor. So that Kana says, okay. Tell me where the chocolate guy is. This guy got the block, okay. That Kana takes in his pocket the diamond, the beautiful diamond. He goes right to the chocolate guy. He says, my son was in there before. He wanted the chocolate. Yeah, my guy came in over here. He's reading words to me. Mishnayot, the stuff over here. There, relax, relax. My son is talking about it. So he tells him, where's the bag? Here's the bag. Okay, can we buy it? You can buy it, of course. And Kana takes out a diamond. Okay, can I have it? The guy looks at it and says, well, you don't deal in diamonds over here. We deal in currency. This guy wants to meet Mishnayot, you're coming with diamonds, my father, my son. And you people out here, money, money, get it. Give us money, I'll give you a chocolate. What are you talking? Give me $3, give me a diamond, give me a... He kicked him out. He goes to the ice cream guy. Sadiq tells him, that's the ice cream still on the counter. He says, listen, my son was the name of Hoyu, that's his ice cream. So I come in and give it to him. He's telling me, Eru Mitziot, Hayam Nachriz, Abeda, who he's talking about. Can I buy it? Of course, Hakam. Can I buy it? A little more respect for the ice cream guy. He says, okay, takes out the diamond from his pocket, who's going to have the ice cream? The guy says, again, says, we don't deal in diamonds over here. We deal in currencies. You want to pay us for the ice cream? So they leave. So Sadiq tells his father, Dad, what is this diamond here? Well, how come they don't take it? He says, wait, I want to show you how valuable this diamond is. Let's go to the Bunsa, let's go to the diamond district. He goes over there to the diamond district. Probably there was some Hasid came out. He saw him.
Mi prende tanto che mi ha fatto di un dettaglio. Sì, sì, sì.
Sei sì, sì, da che mi ha fatto bene. Shalom Aleichem.
Caramba, papà.
He said, listen, I have this diamond for you. Looks as a diamond. You should be generating all that diamond. Where'd you get this diamond from? How much do you think it's worth? He looks at him, this is a million shekel. Easy. Saliki, hear this? Million shekel. You want to buy it? Buy it. We'll buy it for you now, cash on the table. Why? Here? He'll buy it now for a million shekel. He says, but daddy, how come the ice cream guy want to take it? How come the chocolate guy want to take it? So the answers are very simple. They don't know the value of a diamond. They're fools. They don't know the value. Yes, in the diamond market, they know. They're buying a second. This guy made $3. That's all he wants. Give him a couple of quarters. He's happy. He has to give him a diamond. I don't give him a diamond. The diamond is over. I'm giving him a shekel for a couple of Hershey bars. No, I want to give me 53 cents. He doesn't understand what it is. You went into the store, you read the Mishnah. You know what a Mishnah's value is? you were willing to give him Chicago for a couple of chocolates. Everybody doesn't know what a diamond is, this guy. Just like he doesn't know what a diamond is, he doesn't know what a Mishnah is, he doesn't know what a Mitzvah is. And therefore he kicked you out, and the ice cream guy's just the same. He don't know what a diamond is. To him, he knows what a $10 bill. That's more exciting to him. Do you understand what we're talking? When you do a mitzvah, when I do, anyone does a mitzvah. Shai olamot. It's spirituality. It's eternity. It's forever. And it's easy, they're there. But I'll tell you even worse. I'll tell you even worse. This Midrash doesn't say. There was some, quote, a bomb. The scheme, he doesn't have too much, a homeless fellow. He's walking down the street one day, he sees something shiny on the floor, he picks it up. What parma? Yeah, I know, the diamond. He don't even know what the value is. He goes to the diamond market, he tells the guy, do me a favor. Anybody here want to buy it from me? But the guy looks one look at it, he says, I don't want this guy. He looks at the way he's dressed. The guy's over the diamond, it's worth $3.5 million. You don't know where you found it. So he says, how much you want for that diamond? He says, listen, I need $10. So the guy says, $10? He says, okay, listen, if you give me $5, but cash, please, don't. He says, $5? He says, well, how much you want to give? How much you want to give? I don't know the end of that story. I don't know who gave him that. But go up to a man that has a $3.5 million diamond and he's willing to sell it for $5. Everybody came to this class tonight. But you know what? There's some people that didn't come to this class tonight. Where'd they go? Maybe somebody went. Maybe somebody went to the. To a movie. Yeah, they enjoyed themselves. They traded a diamond that's worth $1 billion for what? To have it, have I never mind to have it. Look what you did, you fool. You had a chance to make such a business. You had a chance to do such, to acquire eternity. Instead, what did you do? You squandered it. You wasted it. Somebody said, what kind of a shirt tonight? We're going to sit home, we're going to play the toilet, we're going to play backgammon. Backgammon? I'm going to play your cards. Come on, I had a chance to come to show the Torah. Shai Kodamot! And that's going to be according to the Zohar. That's Gehinam. You know what Gehinam is? Gehinam is not fire. It's not monsters with googly eyes. It's not all the other things that you read about. You know what Gehinnom is? The biggest sa'ah. You're going to see what you could have accomplished and what you did. It's like a person, if you ever walked with your grandfather or your great-grandfather, more likely your grandfather, And you walk down the street, and what does he tell you? I could have bought that building. I had it. They offered it to me when it was $6,000. Today it's $18 billion. I could have been a rich man. And he's still talking about it 15 years later. Why? He never recovered from that. That's the biggest sob. The biggest sob is, you had it. You could have had it. You didn't buy it. I asked two businessmen the same question. They both answered me the same answer, which is, I wasn't shocked, but I wanted to confirm it. I said, what is the bigger sob to you? What is the bigger pain to you? A sock that you bought and went down? Or a stock that you bought and you sold it at a profit, but after you sold it, it shot up? Which is the biggest sahab to you? And they said, the loss of profit is the biggest sahab. I said, why? He said, because when you lose money, okay, you lose money, it happens. You buy a stock, it went there, but here you owned it, you had it. Yeah, the winner, you holding it! And you sold it a little early, then it split, and went up, and it did. And I'll always talk about it. Yeah, you showed me the certificate, you showed me the board of that. So what happened? I sold early, I didn't realize. That's the income. And trust me, that person talks about it 15 years later, I had it. And the same thing is getting down. What's getting down? Said the rabbi came to the Queens. He told us stories about rats and the diamonds. He told us, we knew it, we were laughing, we were with him, the guy, the darkness, the diamond. How many times did he say the word diamonds in the class? And then the Gehinnom is going to be when we go up to Shemayim 120, they're going to say, he was right. Why didn't you listen then? He wasn't exaggerating. The Tanya Mitzvot. And instead we're trading it for what? For a night out with the boys. Surfing on the internet. There's a price for everything. What are you trading for? If somebody came to your house and said, I like this house over here. Is it for sale? No, it's not for sale. But if I make an offer, would you consider it? The truth is, it's not the sin, but if you want to make an offer, fine. Okay, I'll give you $1. That's what we're doing. We're taking value to another mitzvot, and we're selling it for $1. We're exchanging it for $1. And that's going to be the biggest pain for us. Oh, so now you're going to ask a question. This is a $1 million question. What does this have to do with Sukkot? It has nothing to do with Sukkot. But it's an important that I share regardless. So I want to wish you a happy Sukkot. No, it has something to do with Sukkot. It has something to do with Sukkot. The rabbis and Musar tell us, this is what you came for tonight. You have to understand what Sukkot is. The Gemara says, "Say medilat keva, eshet medilat arayim." Leave your permanent structure and go sit in a temporary structure. The Goyim think we're crazy. Here's the beginning of the rainy season. The weather starts to turn, always on Sukkot. See how beautiful it is outside now? You can't imagine. Somehow, the weather forecast, and here's the word Sukkot, rain, cold. I always said, if Sukkot was in the middle of July, it would get cold in the middle of July. Something with Sukkot and weather pattern. But that's Minas Shamayim, to give us a test. So what happens? Bnei Olam says, everybody sitting in their comfortable homes, go sit in a hut. We go in our backyard, we sit in the richest man, I don't care how fancy his sukkah is, he has the same sukkah that I have. When it rains in my sukkah, it rains in his sukkah just as much. It's the same roof. The sukkah is called the sukkah for the sukkah, it's the most temporary structure. A little wind comes, It starts to shift, it starts to move. What's the message of the Sukkah? Se medirat keva v'shev medirat alai. To remind you, this is a temporary world. This is not the primary world. This is not the permanent structure. This world is medirat alai. You just came out of Kippur. Now we're reminding ourselves what the purpose of life is. And it's 7 days. Connecting the 70 years of a person's life. A person comes into this world, 70 shana, 80. But we're reminded by the Sukkah, the ephemeral nature of this world. It's a temporary structure. It's not permanent, it's not forever. And that reminds us of our goal and our mission and our perspective. Oh, so you're going to ask me, Hakam, if that's the message of the Sukkah, what's the message of the Lulav?
You know what the Lulav is?
The Lulav is like a dagger. Ladies, you'll notice the men in the synagogue, they take the Lulav and they start to do the Hoshanot. And they go this way, and they go that way, and they go behind them, to the sides. Oh, Shia. I always enjoy the Hoshanot. It was that one guy in Shul that's always going the wrong way. You can never catch up, he's always in the opposite direction. What's the matter? What are we doing with this lulav? Who are we hitting here? What are we doing? This is nobody in front of us. What are we dabbling? You know what the Kabbalah says? We're telling the Yetzer Hara, Gira de'alecha. When we're standing in the synagogue, we're telling the Yetzer Hara, this is it. We're reenacting what's going to happen on the day Mashiach comes. We're reenacting that dekel, that lancing of the Yetzer Hara. And we're doing it ourselves. We're trying to inspire God. God, we're ready. We're clean from Kippur. We have a perspective that this world is temporary. Now please put it on. Just like we're attacking the Yetzer Hara on all sides, now take out your dagger, Borei Olam, and kill him once and for all. But I ask the question that I began with. So why did Tzaddikim cry? Why are they crying? They can't get the answer. You know why they're crying? Because once the Yetzer Hara is destroyed, the game is over. They make an announcement in heaven, please, whoever's picking up any more diamonds, drop them. The game is over. Freeze! It's like musical chairs when the music stops. There's no more collecting. So the tzaddikim, when they see the death of the Yetzer Hara, that's the death of Olam HaAsiyah. It's the death of this world. But they start to cry, we didn't finish, there's so much more for us to accomplish. They're crying because not that they didn't collect, they collected, but there were more. And that's why you know what the holiday of Sukkot is called? Chag Asif. Why is it called Chag Asif? What does Asif mean? The gag. All the messages of Sukkot reminds us of what the tikkun of this world is. It's a temporary world. It reminds us the Yetzer Hara is going to get killed one day. And on that day, we're going to be very upset. We're going to be upset because we could have collected more Chag Asif. The holiday of Sukkot is a holiday of perspective. It's a holiday of focus. It's a holiday of clarity. What a Musar. The Ashkenazim have a custom. On Sukkot, they read the book of Kohelet. Kohelet was Shlomo HaMelech. He wrote the book of Kohelet. And you know what the first pasuk in Kohelet is? Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet. Havel Havalim Akol Havel. Shlomo HaMelech was a wealthy man. He had all the riches. You know what he says about this world? Havel Havalim Akol Havel. Take it from someone that knows. It's a waste. It's vanity. It's futile, it's air, it's wind. Sotamara kol nishma, eta Elohim yeravet misvotav shelor, kizeh kol ha'adam. The end of man is his performance of the mitzvot. Everything else stays behind. Kilo v'moto yikach hakol. Nobody was ever buried with shrouds that had pockets. You cannot take it with you. Only the Torah and the Mitzvot. And Sukkah reminds us that this is like a temporary stay in a hotel. Person checks into a hotel. Does he bring a painter with him? The painter's hotel room? To reupholster the walls? Does he bring a construction to start adding a hotel room? He knows he's going to be there for 3 days. What's he going to know? Our problem is, we forget that we think this world is keva. We think this is it. We don't believe there's another world. And therefore God tells us, sanity not keva. Leave from that mindset. Sanity not keva from your psyche. That says this world is permanent. It's not permanent. This world is a suzgara. And I'll conclude with one story. What did I do for? I told you the same story 6 ways. So you're laughing. But still, doesn't end. You can say this 100 times. At the end of the day, 9 minutes, okay. We forget it. Gets a lot very strong. There was a fellow that wanted to go to... Oh, this is the one last story. A fellow wanted to go to the United States. He lived in Israel. Israeli guy. In the old days, they didn't have airplanes. They got my boat. You have to make a reservation a year before. He calls up the boat company. I want to go to America. Okay, America, New York. New York, we have a boat leaving in a year. Okay, a year before, give me a ticket. He says, well, we have an itinerary to give you. Oh, give me that itinerary. He looks at the itinerary, the travel plans is he lives in Jaffa, goes to Paris for 3 days, and then lands in New York. Israeli guy, he says, okay, beautiful, one problem, I don't speak French. He's going to be in Paris for 3 days. So he has a year to prepare. He hires a tutor, a teacher, a professor, and he studies French. And he becomes very fluent. Now he gets on the boat with all the other Israelis, and so forth. Now they're putting him to the port in Paris, and the Israelis start to shake. And now I'm going to bring Tzafati, all this stuff over here. So the guy said, don't worry, I took lessons.
You took lessons, what a gaon, what a genius, what a hakam, it's unbelievable.
They get off the boat, they don't know what to do. He starts, and they came looking, people are answering him back. Oh, you understand what's that? Of course, there's this, violent there. Wow. For 3 days, this guy was a melech. Anytime somebody wants to do something, great. Yes, Abraham, tell me one more soup. Por favor, por favor, Spanish. Different words. French is a hot language, by the way. Somebody once said, look how smart the children in France are. Even a 3-year-old boy speaks French. In any event, for 3 days, wow, they needed them. Then they get back on the boat, okay, he says goodbye, au revoir, whatever it is, he gets back on. Now they go to their final destination. They pull up by the Statue of Liberty. So of course the customs agents are on the port there. that attracted that friend, the Gaon, Abraham, Anachmo, the poor America. Ta'azor otanu, help us! So he says in more words, Aninom et ben Arvit. I don't speak English. They tell them, what? You tipesh, you hamon, jetbe, you fool. What do you mean? You studied the wrong language. You studied French. You had 1 year. You should have studied English. We're going to be living here for the next 70 years. You studied French for a 3-day trip. And we laugh at this guy, just like we laugh at the other guy in the land of darkness. We're that person. We come to this world. The world is a small world, and we're studying the wrong language. We're going to go up to Allah Ta'ala and say, look, it's not saying, Giorgio Armani, Giorgio Zafrani. Verizon, BMW. We can say, what did he say? And all of a sudden we start to hear laughing. Look at this guy, he was here for 70 years. And he's going to be in Olam Haba for 700 billion years. That's even a second of Olam Haba. Eternity is eternity. And he's studying the wrong language. Yosef Bashamayim Yitzhak Adonai Al-Aglamo. And therefore, Rabotais was called such a beautiful holiday. It's the holiday of clarity. It's the holiday of perspective. It's the holiday of focus. When we're going to go Wednesday night, Hashem, to give us good weather, we're going to sit in the Sukkah. You tell your families, Sevedirat Keva! Leave that permanent attitude. Hashem, Sevedirat Halai! This is the Iyan of the Sukkah, and then we'll tell that Yetzer HaRav Girat HaMelecha. And Bori Olam will take our reenactment of that great day of the advent of Mashiach, and he will kill the Yetzer HaRav. But on that day, we're going to cry. As much as we do, we're still going to cry, because we're going to say we could have done more. And therefore I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are diamonds in the street. Don't bring home wax. Grab and grab. Take as much as you can. The value is great. Don't exchange a $3 billion diamond for $5. The ice cream man doesn't understand what a Mishnah is, nor does the chocolatier understand what does it mean with what. They're only interested in Gnushi, no understanding money. We understand differently. There's no price on Ru'aniyut. And therefore let us become motivated on the holiday of Sukkot to start to fill our chests and our accounts, our spiritual accounts. And then Parashat Hashem will come to Olam HaEmet with a great account for the tremendous treasure of Torah Mitzvot. Bore Olam will then say, Sev Dirat Haran, Veshev Bedirat Keva. Leave your temporary now. Now come sit with me in the permanent structure. But we'll have what to pay for it, Hazrat Hashem. May God bless you all, and may your perspective be clear, and may you continue to collect and gather Hag Asif, the holiday of Asifah, of collecting to school is in the